This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News, right here on RBN Live, the 7th day of December, 2023, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. Ukraine is another historic U.S. failure, like Afghanistan, Vietnam, Iraq, and more, according to a brilliant article in the Truth Seeker. Really excellent. Let me share parts with you. The war-indebted U.S. empire is faltering toward its historic and final demise. Every empire has its day in the sun. The U.S.-led NATO alliance held its first NATO-Ukraine Council meeting this week in Brussels, as usual. The cliched promises of supporting the Kiev regime to the end were trotted out by all and sundry. In truth, these NATO events for Ukraine and more generally are becoming yawn fests. The whole sordid charade is only postponing the reality that a proxy war in Ukraine against Russia is a debacle for the Western powers. This is not something to gloat over. It is a tragedy and an abomination. Up to 400,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been killed, as well as tens of thousands of Russian military personnel. Total casualty figures are no doubt in the millions. In addition, millions more civilians have been displaced as refugees in Russia and throughout Europe. Hundreds of billions of dollars and euros have been raided from Western taxpayers to fund this bloody fiasco. Not only that, but international tensions have been heightened between nuclear powers at a perilous pitch not seen since the Cuban Missile Crisis of 1962 at the depth of the Cold War. Washington needs to come to its senses and negotiate a peaceful settlement on Moscow's terms. It's as simple and as blunt as that. This is what could have been achieved before the conflict erupted in February 2022, when Moscow was offering a negotiable security treaty. The West rejected those terms out of hand back then. Now it will have to accept them. Primarily, the conditions are that there will be no further NATO enlargement around Russia's borders, and in particular, there will be no inclusion of Ukraine in the American-led bellicose military bloc. Well, you'd think that those who are surrounding Biden would get the message. Not the case. He is now absurdly declaring that he'll deploy U.S. troops to fight Russia if $100 billion more in Ukraine arms is not approved. This is dated December 7, today. In his plea to Congress for more funding, Biden baselessly claims that Russian President Putin is plan to invade NATO countries once he has defeated Ukraine. Biden claims if Putin takes Ukraine, he won't stop there, for which I add there's not a shred of evidence. In fact, Putin's made it very clear that is not his ambition. He continues, if Putin attacks a NATO ally, if he keeps going and then he attacks a NATO ally, we're committed as a NATO member to defend every inch of NATO territory, and we'll have something that we don't seek and that we don't have today, American troops fighting Russian troops. Here we have on CBS News reporting.
The meeting with the G7, which was one of the issues we discussed, all the European leaders, we are prepared to stay with us, stay with Ukraine. And our European friends are as well. Who in the United States are prepared to walk away from that? I tell you, I'm not prepared to walk away. And I don't think the American people are either. If Putin takes Ukraine, he won't stop there. It's important to see the long run here. He's going to keep going. He's made that pretty clear. Putin attacks a NATO ally. If he keeps going, and then he attacks a NATO ally, when we've committed as a NATO member that we defend every inch of NATO territory, then we'll have something that we don't seek and that we don't have today. American troops fighting Russian troops. American troops fighting Russian troops if he moves into other parts of NATO. Make no mistake, today's vote's going to be long remembered, and history's going to judge harshly. those who turn their back on freedom of cause. We can't let Putin win. Say it again. We can't let Putin win. It's in our overwhelming national interest and the international interest of all our friends.
What Hustler is going to judge harshly is idiots, warmongers, criminals like this Biden administration that have brought about the death of so many for so long in an absolutely reckless effort to defend the indefensible. We can't let Putin win. Well, I got news for you. Putin has already won. The war is over. This is a myth, a fantasy, an absurdity. But then that's what the Democrat Party has been reduced to. One wild goose chase, one fantasy, one monster lie after another. Meanwhile, Mondo Weiss reports, Operation Al-Qassa Flood Day 61. U.S. believes Israel's Gaza invasion could last until the end of January. How ridiculous is that? The Israelis have already declared it could take a whole year. So what's this talk about the end of January? Here's some updates. 15,899 plus killed. This is dated yesterday. Including 6,150 children, 42,000 wounded in the Gaza Strip, 262 Palestinians killed in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. Israel revises its estimated October 7th death toll down from 1,400 to 1,147. Key developments. Israel bombed Jabalah Center and Block 2 residential neighborhood with a barrage of white phosphorus and smoke shells. Israel forces blocked the burial of 100 bodies inside Kamal Adwan Hospital in Beit Lea as they shoot at people in the area, according to the Ministry of Health Director General. A member of the medical staff at Gaza arrested when they tried to flee to the south from Gaza. The PA Minister of Health said that only four hospitals in North Gaza are partially operating in dire condition under Israeli fire and bombardment. Some 117,000 cases of acute respiratory infection are recorded by the Ministry of Health, 50,000 cases of skin disease, 86,000 cases of diarrhea and severe dehydration in children under the age of five. Remember the siege, they cut off all water, all food, all electricity, and now all communications. U.S. official told CNN, it would take until the end of January before Israeli forces transition to lower intensity, hyper-localized strategy to target Hamas in southern Gaza. Qatar's emir, it is a disgrace on the international community to allow this heinous crime to continue for more than 2 months. A UN official confirmed there's no single safe place in the Gaza Strip from Israeli bombardment, including facilities carrying the UN flag. Two Palestinians were killed, a third succumbed to his wounds in the past 24 hours in the occupied West Bank. A Palestinian was shot from close range by Israeli soldiers. In this incident, filmed by Palestinians in the town of Kibbet Qualas, south of Hebron. In other words, nothing changed from the day before. Meanwhile, for Netanyahu and his political allies, peace is more dangerous than war. Extremely interesting from the Middle East eye. Israeli public opinion has turned against both Israel's PM and Bezalel Smotrich, his main coalition partner on the extreme right. But they won't give up on their dream of a new Nakba easily. This is a decisive moment in Israel's war with Hamas. It's also a hugely dangerous one for both sides. The resumption of a brutal bombing campaign on the south of Gaza was impelled by an overwhelming feeling in the war cabinet, the media, and among the majority of Israelis that the war should go on, that Hamas should be dealt a final blow. The Israeli public wants vengeance, and they clearly do not feel they have had it. faced with a blunt choice of a further exchange of hostages and prisoners and returning to the ground offensive, the War Cabinet decisively chose war. If the War Cabinet is a long way from recognizing what everyone outside of Israel is telling them, that Hamas cannot be fully defeated, there is now a growing new realization in Israel, maybe even within the army and certainly among commentators, that Hamas is far from being beaten. Indeed. Meanwhile, here we have a further report from Middle East Eye. Son of Israeli War Cabinet Minister killed in northern Gaza. Israeli airstrikes have devastated the besieged Gaza Strip, with more than 17,000 killed, most women and children. The extremist march at Al Mosque Complex in Jerusalem Thursday evening was aborted after police asked participants to leave. According to a police spokesman, given the racist chant of protesters disobeying the police, it was decided not to allow the continuation of the protest to prevent friction and to maintain public order. The Israeli police will continue to allow freedom of expression and protest within the limits of the law, will not allow the violation of public order contrary to law. A massive deployment of police officers was sent to the Damascus Gate ahead of the march. Israelis were chanting slogans such as, "Death to Arabs! We must build the Third Temple!" and "The Third Temple, Al-Aqsa Mosque, is ours!" According to Middle East Eye reporter Faiz Abu Remich, they were also shouting insults at the Prophet Muhammad and calling for the Islamic Waft to be expelled. Police confiscated banners, tried to remove signs with inflammatory language. One protester was detained. Some banners showed statements like, "A bullet in the head of every terrorist," and "We demand full sovereignty over the Temple Mount." Not views that are going to go down well with the other side. Meanwhile, here from Al Jazeera, Israeli-Hamas war live. Hamas says fierce battles across Gaza. Hamas says fighters waging fierce battles as Israel intensified its bombardment of Gaza, hitting areas from Jubaliyah in the north to Khan Yunis in the south. Israeli forces detained dozens of Palestinian men from UN-run schools in northern Gaza, stripping them down to their underwear and taking them away. The Palestinian Red Crescent, says its ambulance services in northern Gaza have come to a standstill. At least 17,177 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza since October 7th. In Israel, the official death toll stands at about 1,150. We have much more. Very disturbing. As I began reporting yesterday from the South Front, Israeli army set up pumps to flood Hamas tunnels in Gaza with seawater. The Israeli Defense Forces has readied plans to flood tunnels under the Gaza Strip with water pumped from the Mediterranean Sea. Citing U.S. officials, the report said the IDF last month set up five large water pumps near the Al-Sheikh refugee camp in Gaza City, which are capable of flooding the subterranean network within weeks by pumping thousands of cubic meters of water per hour into the tunnel. The officials noted that Israel alerted the U.S. about the plan last month, but has not yet decided whether to implement it. According to the report, opinions in the Biden admin were mixed, some expressing concern about the Israeli plan. Others say they back Israel's effort to destroy the tunnels. Among the concerns were potential damage to Gaza's aquifer and soil if seawater and hazardous substances in the tunnels seep into them. We are not sure how successful pumping will be since nobody knows the details of the tunnels and the ground around them. It's impossible to know in advance, but the danger is very real. Meanwhile, Israeli prisoners, it should be borne in mind, are hostages too. Again, from the Middle East eye. The thousands of Palestinians, many children arbitrarily held in administrative detention by Israel, are every bit as much hostages as those seized by Hamas on 7 October. Let this not be forgotten. In parallel to Israel's military offensive on Gaza, another lopsided fight is taking place, one that is not lethal but nevertheless insidious, as it shaped perceptions informing policy. Israeli government and its surrogates have been consistently chasing the use of language they deem detrimental to Israel and its occupation narrative. It's part of diplomacy, one could argue. Assuredly, but in these times of war, Israel's war on words has become just like its offensive on Gaza, all out. When it comes to a war on words, it resembles the silliness of schoolyard bullying. Wow. And what would you say about its slaughter of the Gazans? Take the recent example of Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen castigating Ireland's PM, Leo Varadkar, for boasting, it seems you have lost your moral compass and are trying to legitimize and normalize terror. Shame on you. It was rather an uncouth attack on the prime minister of an EU country for daring to use the words of a biblical passage from the New Testament. An innocent child who was lost has now been found in his gracious 360-word 25 November post on X to mark the release by Hamas of Emily, a 9-year-old Irish Israeli girl held hostage since 7 October. I think the Irish PM has it right. Meanwhile, we have Colonel McGregor. Fearfully, we're going to have got it right. Let's hear some from the colonel.
I would say that now Washington is firmly under the control of Israel and its supporters in the United States. Absolutely. Yeah. To the point where support for the Israelis at this stage is effectively unconditional. So that's a big change. Countries that were much less capable, much less technologically sophisticated, are now actually very sophisticated.
Right.
Include Iran, Turkey, even Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the Emirates. Everyone can watch, everyone can see, and everyone is enraged. And so the question is that has to be asked of Mr. Netanyahu is, can you kill your way out of this? But I'm not an Israeli, but I am an American. And I think first and foremost about the United States. And I'll be frank with you, I'm very worried about our position in the region and in the world.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows that we ultimately hold all the cards when it comes to Israel. Today, Mr. Netanyahu has far more influence and control over what happens in Washington than President Biden.
This is Colonel Douglas McGregor, a 28-year veteran of the U.S. Army who previously served as the senior advisor to the U.S. Secretary of Defense.
We'll be right back with more.
Look at all the lovely people. Helena Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Well, here we have two essays by Paul Craig Roberts that I think are very accurate. The first, why do you trust those who lie to you? Think about this for a moment. The facts are in. Big Pharma's COVID vaccines have a high death rate and a high health injury rate. We know this from a number of official sources, such as Pfizer's internal documents, the release of which was ordered by U.S. federal courts, and from the release of the New Zealand data by the official data administrator. We also know it from countless scientific peer-reviewed studies that every effort is made to suppress. It is obvious that the official data showed that the COVID vaccine was not dangerous, that if the official data showed that the COVID vaccine was not dangerous, the authorities would release it, and it would have to be leaked. It would not have to be leaked by data administrators or order released by courts. Now ask yourselves and your friends what it means that the official health authorities of allegedly accountable democratic governments not only suppress the information, but demonize and arrest those such as New Zealand's data administrator, who made it public. Ask yourselves why the media discredits and supports the rest of those who tell the truth in an attempt to save lives. Ask yourselves why public health agencies and HMOs continue recommending the deadly vaccine when the vaccine has a proven record of being deadly. Ask yourselves why the public trust authorities who are out to murder them. Do you understand that the COVID vaccines still in use are doses approved under the emergency use authorization? The subsequently approved doses have not been released. Why? The reason is that the emergency use authorization in the U.S. prevents lawsuits for damages, but the approved use batches do not. Obviously, the vaccine makers and the authorities understand that the vaccine is dangerous and requires use under emergency use authorization to avoid liability. The people who died from COVID instead of the vaccine died from the withholding of the known proven cures, ivermectin and HCQ. The cures had to be withheld because under the law, if a cure existed, emergency use could not be activated. So in order for Big Pharma to make billions of dollars by killing and injuring the health of unsuspecting citizens, the cures were suppressed and people died needlessly. Political and health authority blamed the deaths on the unvaccinated. The corrupt media lampooned ivermectin as horse medicine. Americans fell for these outrageous lies and died. This is America. Are you proud of your government, media, and health establishment owned lock, stock, and barrel by Big Pharma? Are you a proud American or one shamed to hell by your government, your health authority, and your media? What are you going to do about it? Perfect example of what he explains in the following essay. Civilization has disintegrated. All civilization has disintegrated, not just Western. This fact is obvious from the entire world sitting watching, perhaps entertainment, as Roman watched death in the Colosseum, the genocide of Gaza. The moral democratic U.S. government rushes more bombs and more money to enable Israel's genocide of Palestine. European governments call the genocide Israel's right of self-defense. Christian Zionists justify genocide in Christ's name. In Europe, those whose moral conscience drives them to protest are arrested. In free and democratic U.K., waving a Palestinian flag is cause for arrest. The Muslim world does nothing, displaying its total impotence and lack of self-respect. And the Russians and Chinese sit there and allow the U.S. and Israel to remake the Middle East in their own interest, a development that will increase the power of evil. For those of us mindful of the achievements of Western civilization as well as its blemishes and crimes, to experience a complete evaporation of moral consciousness in the Western world is devastating. The West is not merely permitting this to happen. The West is openly participating in the evil, for evil is what this is. The Israeli Jews portray themselves as victims as they destroy the lives of others. The Israeli Jews, whose complaints of suffering a Holocaust, are now conducting one. Things have been turned upside down. Evil is good. Good is evil. Black is white. White is black. Moral conscience has departed the world.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They they can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Well, when I was growing up, especially, say, in the 1950s, even into the 60s, the United Nations was looked upon as the greatest hope for world peace. You're not going to believe what's coming from the UN today. UN Human Rights Report demands U.S. change constitution, limit free speech, and ban guns. I say, to hell with that. According to the UN Human Rights Committee, these draconian changes are necessary to improve human rights in America and bring the U.S. into compliance with United Nations agreements by promoting abortion, gun control, and transgenderism. In the UN's crosshairs, free speech rights, state-level restrictions on killing babies, state efforts to protect children from genital mutilation, the use of the death penalty on murderers, all that and more, came under attack by the UN human rights machinery as supposed human rights violations. The globalist institution even called on the U.S. to change its constitution to comply with UN schemes. The controversial UN report, released on November 3rd, examined whether government at all levels in the United States was complying with the largely unconstitutional commitments to the UN International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. The global agreement, ratified by the U.S. in 1992, purports to commit the U.S. government to usurp a broad array of powers that were never delegated to it in the Constitution that created it. I can't begin to tell you how offensive I find this. Meanwhile, the Democrats, of course, continue to show their naivete or complicity in schemes that are detrimental to American society. Democrat assault weapon ban, Breitbart report prohibits 205 different kinds of firearms. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer put forward an assault weapon ban Wednesday that would prohibit Americans from buying at least 205 different types of firearms. United States Conference of Mayors noted Schumer's assault weapon ban is reintroduction of a gun ban put forward by the late Senator Dianne Feinstein. On Monday, Breitbart reported Schumer's intention to bring an assault weapon ban to the Senate floor this week. This is so absurd, I can hardly believe, but then again, these are the Democrats. As I've reported endlessly, Americans use guns to defend themselves from assailants millions of times per year, millions of times per year, saving an estimated 200,000 lives per year that would otherwise be lost. This is just stunningly bad. They want to take the guns away from the American people and increase the crime rate as it does in Democrat cities that are controlled thereby. Do you know, as I've reported before, if you subtract the gun violence in just five cities in America controlled by the Democrats, including Detroit and Cleveland and Philadelphia, that out of the 193 nations, their gun violence rate would fall to 189th, fourth lowest in the world, if you just subtract it. So what does Schumer want to do? He wants to reverse that. He wants to have gun violence all across America by taking guns away from the American people. Here we have a fascinating report. Thomas Massey kicked a rat's nest by suggesting Congress cares more about Israel than America. He's got that right. The message in question is literally true. American patriotism is looked upon negatively by Congress by any measure. Thomas Massey posted a meme saying that Congress cares more about protecting Israel than America. This is really just an obvious fact, which I don't think can possibly be disputed. Yesterday, I wrote that the conservatives at Breitbart denounced Massey, who is the most conservative member of Congress, over the post. The rats are really out in force. They swarm these Jews. Senator Chuck Schumer, who is, of course, Jewish. Representative Massey, you're a sitting member of Congress. This is anti-Semitic, disgusting, dangerous, and exactly the type of thing I was talking about in my Senate address. Take this down. Hell no. Massey for president. There's somebody we might all get behind. Meanwhile, White House staff have made a shocking demand as a mutiny explodes against Biden. In recent days, it appears some Democrats have turned on Joe Biden. Many in the media have questioned his ability to win in 2024. Individual staffers have gotten under fire for making bold claims against Biden. But now, an entire group of interns are turning on the president. And they are making a demand that will have many Americans outraged, not I, from Breitbart. 40-plus White House interns have sent a letter to President Biden demanding a permanent ceasefire between Israel and the Hamas terrorist organization, as they call it, mind you. I say freedom-fighting organization, further accusing him of ever ignored the pleas of the American people. We The undersigned, fall 2023 White House and Executive Office of the President interns will no longer remain silent on the ongoing genocide of the Palestinian people. They went on and set out conditions of their demand for an end to hostilities while claiming to be acting as the voices of the American people. I agree with them 100%. God knows Biden and the other monsters are incapable of doing that. Meanwhile, ironically, my internet just dropped. So I'm going to continue to elaborate. The whole gun control thing is a total and complete fiasco. If you go the way that the government would have you go, worldwide, it turns out that the greater the gun ownership in a nation, the lower the homicide rate. The greater the gun ownership in a nation, the lower the homicide rate. Thus, until recently, the U.S. and Canada had by far the highest gun ownership rates, but also the lowest homicide rates. Now Canada has confiscated guns from the Canadian people, and we're going to see a current change as a result, without any doubt. Give me one moment here. No. Wow. And for example, in Brazil of late, Brazil had a change in government, and the new leader of Brazil came on and liberalized gun laws. The crime rate immediately went down. And now he was replaced by another guy who wants to restrain guns. And what's happened? The crime rate has gone back up. Unbelievable. Absolutely predictable if you paid attention to what's going on in the world today, if you get accurate statistics. Meanwhile, GOP rivals clash over Trump in fiery debate. I watched it last night. I gave a live commentary on it. It was actually very interesting in many ways. Four Republican candidates faced off in a fiery GOP presidential debate in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, hosted by the Hill sister news organization News Nation. Former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley took fire from her fellow contenders as she advised with Florida Governor DeSantis for second place behind former President Trump, who skipped the debate. Former New York, Jersey Governor Chris Christie and interpreter Vivek Ramaswamy also took the stage in the smallest showdown yet. But of course, that's the idea. It's a winnowing process. With 6 weeks before the nominating process began, candidates clashed over questions around the front-runner Trump during the second hour. Elizabeth Vargas, Megyn Kelly, and Ileana Johnson moderated the debate. It went from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. It generated a lot of very interesting exchanges. Here we had Ramaswamy torching Chris Christie. Enjoy a nice meal and get the hell out of this race, he said to him, I thought very appropriately. The fireworks were off the chart, particularly between Chris Christie and biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy. And by the way, I thought Ramaswamy by far was the most articulate, the most pointed, the most courageous. He was denouncing 9/11, for example. He was denouncing Israeli genocide. He was making a lot of points that I think most Americans would agree with. Christie went hard after him. It was made former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, whom Trump has nicknamed Bird Brain, his prime target in these debates. But the brash young candidate was not backing down. A former governor of New Jersey seemingly had some sort of unwritten pact with Haley during the debate, and as such, He took it upon himself to come to her defense when Ramaswamy kept jabbing away at her. This is a fourth debate that you will be voted in the first 20 minutes as the most obnoxious blowhard in America, Christie claimed. But Ramaswamy was only getting started. He established himself as easily the best debater on the stage Wednesday night with counterattack after counterattack. At one point, in the span of about 15 seconds, he made Jeff Christie with a Bridgegate scandal blast, questioned his intellect on foreign policy, and tie in a weight joke all for a good measure. His version of foreign policy experience was closing a bridge from New Jersey to New York, Ramaswamy said. So do everybody a favor. Just walk yourself off the stage, enjoy a nice meal, and get the hell out of this race. I loved it. Very impressive. Christie is just there to sabotage Trump. There's no question about it. Meanwhile, Nikki Haley was ridiculed for her claim that watching TikTok videos makes you 17% more anti-Semitic every 30 minutes. I mean, it was just so stupid that I think it confirms Trump's nickname of bird brain. Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley took some online heat after claiming in last night's GOP debate that watching TikTok videos makes you 17% more anti-Semitic every 30 minutes. I mean, where did she come up with this? The claim came in the midst of Haley's argument to ban TikTok, noting the Chinese-owned social media app has seen an uptake in pro-Palestine messages. I like that. I like the fact that TikTok is playing a whole lot of stuff that you can't even get on Twitter. I'm impressed with TikTok. Meanwhile, here's a very interesting piece. Is the Great Replacement a Theory or a Law by Stephen Salyer on Oon's Review. Political historian Rick Perlstein tweeted, so yeah, Vivek just said the Great Replacement Theory is not a conspiracy theory. I respond, you're right. It's more like the Great Replacement Law than the Great Replacement Theory. It's an arithmetical tautology that importing Democrat-leaning ethnicities dilutes the voting power of native-born Republican-leaning ethnicities. Democrats are smart enough to know that. Republicans, on the other hand, might not be smart enough to figure out what the Democrats are doing to them by not restricting immigration more unless somebody makes up a catchy name for them like Great Replacement. Rick Perlstein responded, how do you know what ethnicities will be Democratic leaning? I answered, surveys, exit polls, precincts, academic studies, expert opinion, et cetera, et cetera. He replied, the children of the immigrants who put FDR in power voted for Reagan, I said in response. FDR and Reagan were 48 years apart. Democrats always coming up with these hilarious rationalizations for why Republicans should trust them on immigration, like something might change to benefit you in just 48 years. Unamusingly, Republicans often fall for them. And as I reported yesterday, we now have proof that in these immigration packages, they're registering them to vote Democrat. Absolutely outrageous. Meanwhile, in a further effort to buy voters, Biden forgives another $4.8 billion in student debt. The Biden administration has forgiven another $4.8 billion in student loan debt, with critics saying it's unfair for taxpayers to pay for other people's loans. I happen to agree with them. The Biden admin announced Wednesday it would forgive an additional $4.8 billion in student loan debt for 80,300 borrowers, bringing the total taxpayer burden to $132 billion. He's paying for their vote. He's trying to buy them. That's the whole idea. I won't back down from using every tool at our disposal to get student loan borrowers the release they need to reach their dreams, and I add, and vote Democrat for me in 2024, even though I'm convinced he will not be on the ticket. Biden said in a December 6th statement, making clear that he's undeterred by a Supreme Court decision blocking a lot of their initiatives.
Is help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find, I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Our last three stories today are interrelated. Harvard president faces backlash for her testimony on anti-Semitism on a campus. A Harvard Jewish student organization has criticized Harvard's president, Claudine Gay, for her testimony over anti-Semitism on campus following her hearing before Congress on December 5th. When pressed during her testimony, President Gay repeatedly equivocated, refusing to characterize calls for the genocide of Jews as a breach of Harvard's code of conduct, instead saying the offense depends on the context the Jewish Student or Association Harvard Hillel said in its statement. President Gay's refusal to draw a line around threatening anti-Semite speech as a violation of Harvard policies is profoundly shocking, given explicit provision within the conduct code prohibiting this kind of bullying and harassment. From what I can see, the students want Harvard out of occupied Israel. The students are protesting the slaughter of the Palestinians, and the Jewish group doesn't like it. Surprise, surprise. Meanwhile, a Floyd v. Dare reports the George Floyd hoax has led to black presidents and chancellors taking over traditionally white universities. Black Harvard president Claudine Gay was reportedly the Republicans' top target in Tuesday's House hearing on campus anti-Semitism. The criticism must have been a rude shock to Gay, because she had previously soared comfortably upward on one of the most powerful thermals in modern U.S. life, black privilege in academia. Ever since the Floyd hoax in 2020, traditionally white colleges and universities have been on a hiring binge of blacks for president or chancellor. Other beneficiaries? Daryl Pines, University of Maryland, Gregory Washington, George Mason, Vincent Ruggio, Holy Cross, Michael Drake, University of California, Dwight McBride, the New School, William Tate IV, Louisiana State. Some may be qualified, but we all know that's not what they were hired, but because they advanced the reigning anti-white regime called diversity, inclusion, and equity, properly known as DIE. One more. We have the Babylon Bee. 9 must-haves to pack for your Harvard student dorm. It's Christmas time. Parents are looking for the perfect gift for kids of all ages, which can be especially tough if your child's attending a prestigious, virulently anti-Semitic institution like Harvard. Babylon Bee is here to provide you with a fine list of absolute must-have items to pack for your Harvard student dorm. I'll be right back and take your calls.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live this seventh day of December 2023, where I'm taking your calls. Our first caller, Peter from Los Angeles. Peter, nice you called in early. Give us your thoughts for today.
Hi, Jim. I wanted to continue just a little bit on what I did yesterday and give a little bit of history that is not printed and no, it's not in any history book, but it's all true about the Zionist presence in the United States. So if you can
please
accommodate me here, we'll start with Leo Frank, who was the Jewish guy, factory owner in Atlanta, who was a pedophile, murdered a 12 or 13 year old girl. The white girl who worked in his plant, blamed it on one black person after another, was convicted and the conviction upheld several times, and was finally hanged after Jewish money intervened, even though he was convicted and that conviction was upheld many times. Then he was going to be freed. He was finally lynched. That was the beginning of the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, which is the current plague on our First Amendment rights and is a very anti-white institution itself. So there's Leo Frank. Then we go to Louis Brandeis, the first Jewish Supreme Court justice, a principal advisor to Woodrow Wilson, also a secret Zionist bigwig that was trying to get a homeland going. And he also was whispering in Wilson's ear, Wilson, who ran on, he kept us out of war, to get us back into war for the Balfour Declaration and the Jewish homeland, which the bankers were also. Brandeis and the New York bankers were instrumental in getting us into World War I, and in our basically 100 days of combat there, we had 116,000 dead, 1,000 a day and more. That was due to them. Then we go on to the fact that I want to talk a little bit about Jewish. They practically invented terrorism. The Patria, which was a ship that docked in Haifa, carrying in November of 1940, carrying a bunch of Jewish refugees, who then decided they didn't want to stay in Palestine, but the Irgun and the Stern Gang and the Haganah didn't want the Jewish refugees to sail away, which they tried to do. So they blew up the Patria and it killed hundreds of people rather than let the Jewish immigrants leave and not stay in Palestine. Then we have the King David Hotel, which was done by Menachem Begin, one of the prime ministers, subsequent prime ministers of Israel, where they blew up a King David Hotel, was killed hundreds of people. I believe it was the biggest bombing event for terrorism that lasted until the thing in Oklahoma City in 1995. But he literally lit the fuse and helped smuggle the explosives in. Then
and they were dressed. They were dressed as Arabs too, Peter, as I understand it. They were dressed as Arabs.
Which is like, that's just the way they operate. Then there was the assassination of the Swedish diplomat, Count Folke Bernadotte, who had been instrumental, by the way, in freeing a lot of Jews from concentration camps. But he was negotiating something. He was taking two pro-Palestinian. So they murdered the UN envoy, Folke Bernadotte. They also tried to kill... They had a plot to kill Winston Churchill, which was foiled. Henry Morgenthau, the American Jew, also was an advisor to FDR, who wanted to starve the Germans and make them a pastoral society and starve millions of them to death with the Morgenthau Plan. So then we go on to the spies. Let's get a little bit about the spies. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, the people who sold the nuclear secrets to the Russians, along with their Ethel's brother, David Greenglass, and Klaus Fuchs, all Jews. Then there was J. Robert Oppenheimer, also found to be a spy when they did the decrypts of the Venona Project. Then there's the Levon Affair. The Levon Affair was the United States and Europe were getting too close to Egypt, so they started setting bombs in the within Egypt, at like the American Friendship Center, places like that, in order to turn American and European foreign policy against the Egyptians. Turned out, however, that they were Jewish spies, and they were killing their own people and killing our people in order to subvert our diplomatic progress with the Egyptians. Then we have Begin, I already talked about, but Yitzhak Shamir, another former prime minister, also was a murderous terrorist. Then we have, in the Stern Gang or the Ergun or the Haganah. Then we had the Deir Yassin massacre, where they massacred, this was the most well-known, hundreds of people in a village in the first Nakba in 1948 to try to make the Arabs and the Palestinians flee and become, and successful, by the way, when they murdered and raped hundreds of people and wiped out a village. Ariel Sharon had a part in that, Jewish Israeli prime minister. Then we have the Liberty, which was when they attacked the United States naval surveillance ship, the Liberty. Out of 230 crewmen, like 200 were casualties. They strafed the people in the water. They strafed the lifeboats. They dropped napalm on the ship and jammed. They knew who we were because they jammed the radio signals when we called for help. Then we have some other things. NUMEC, where they smuggled out and stole weapons-grade uranium and plutonium from a Jewish-owned company in Pennsylvania. By the way, left a horrible nuclear residue mess, but they sold hundreds of pounds of weapons-grade uranium. Then there's, of course, Jonathan Pollard, the single most damaging U.S. spy to date, who sold all of our nuclear secrets to Israel, who gave them to Israel, who then sold them to the Russians. Then we have several of blackmail rings, starting with Roy Cohn, who was on the House Un-American Affairs subcommittee attorney. He was one of Trump's mentors, but he had a blackmail ring that was blackmailing people on behalf of the Israelis. We all know about Jeffrey Epstein and what he was doing. There was another one with the Bronfman family, where they also had a blackmail ring. He was the head of the National Jewish Council, also the Seagram's liquor, the owner of Seagram's liquor. The people who censored Trump were talking about the people who owned Twitter at the time, the people who owned Facebook at the time, who censored a sitting American president during the last week of an election, while also protecting Joe Biden from letting the laptop stuff out. Then we have the Office of Special Plans that helped get us into the Iraq War in 2003. Then we had the APEC spies in 2006 who were selling Pentagon secrets, who were giving them to APEC against Iran. Then we have the horrible white crime criminals, Ivan Boesky and Bernie Madoff, also the biggest white crime criminals to date in the history of the world. Then we have, by the way, Netanyahu were also spied, and along with Arnon Milchan, the Hollywood producer selling Krytons to the Israelis, another nuclear spy ring. And Haim Saban, the biggest donor to the Democratic Party, who's the one-issue guy, he said, and his issue was Israel. To Sheldon Adelson, who was a one-issue guy and biggest donor to the Republican Party, and his issue was Israel. To George Soros, another of the biggest Democratic Party donors, and also, an Israeli guy. So this is just a brief, and I don't want to make it all negative. I want to say some positive things. Here's a couple of guys I have immense respect for who are American Jews. Max Blumenthal, Ron Unz, Norman Finkelstein, Glenn Greenwald, Jeffrey Sachs, to go along with some other truth tellers who aren't Jewish, like Colonel Douglas McGregor, Larry Johnson, Phil Giraldi, Mike Rivera, Judge Napolitano, and yourself, Jim Fetzer. So there we go. That's my little rant for the day. But that's stuff you'll never get on mainstream TV, and it's all true.
Well, Peter, I think that was sensational. Very, very nice and most welcome. Do you have a final thought to add today?
No, I've taken up too much time already. Happy birthday. Oh, no. I sent you a...
Very well done, Peter. Excellent. Excellent. Many thanks for such a splendid call. Laura in Michigan. Laura, join the conversation. We lost Laura. Lila, join us again. I'm so pleased you're here.
Yeah. Hi, Jim. Once again, thank you, Peter, for that brilliant summary. I would just add a couple more. The Lord Moyne, who was then the head of the British Colonial Office in Egypt, was assassinated by two Zionist teenagers, late teens, because he was opposed to the Zionist project and tried to talk the British out of supporting it and actually enforcing it. And Count Foka Bernadotte, the reason he was murdered was because he wanted to keep Jerusalem, their emerald, the crown in what they thought would be their Israeli, or the jewel in the Israeli crown. Count Foka Bernadotte wanted to keep Jerusalem and Bethlehem as international zones, not belonging to either side. So they literally just shot him full of 22 bullets. It was disgraceful the way they entrapped him. And the Israelis have never acknowledged it. And Bernadotte was actually one of the Napoleonic generals who was invited to become, he was the descendant of the King of Sweden. And there were other Swedes. There, for example, article, the other thing I was calling about was, let's not forget about Felix Frankfurter, who was at the so-called peace conference during the League of Nations, where he was advising. He was a protege, kind of the tool, the gopher guy for Louis Brandeis. And the two of them together were Supreme Court justices engaged in illegal activities. And the story is that they actually bribed Truman to be the first to recognize Israel's declaration of independence within something like 11 minutes. And I won't even bother to go into in this call what they did at the UN to get that vote. So at that time, they accepted the UN resolution. Now they're calling Antonio Guterres an anti-Semite, a guy who's in favor of terrorists in Gaza, and every possible horrible name that you can think. But that's their style. They try to shame people. They only reveal their own corrupt. They project their own corruption onto other people. But Article 99, I believe, was invoked in 1960 by Dag Hammarskjöld. If you can still find it on BitChute, look for Cold Case Dag Hammarskjöld. Not only the Al Jazeera was mistaken. They only mentioned that in the Congo, Patrice Lumumba was assassinated. They completely forget the most horrendous crime, where Dag Hammarskjöld's plane was shot down. And then when it landed, first of all, they planted a bomb in the wheel that did not go off when he left the U.S. So in the air, there was a guy who was working for a company in South Africa called SAMAR that was representing itself as giving free health care to the black South Africans. And they were experimenting. This is where they started experimenting with so-called vaccines. It was in South Africa. And so that organization, SAIMR, was the one that sent someone out called Congo Red to shoot down the jet if the bomb did not go off. Everybody, and I mean individual body, that was found after the plane crashed, and I can't remember exactly what city in the Congo it crashed in, but they didn't investigate it, obviously, until recently when two Scandinavian journalists did a cold case investigation, and they were able to find out not only about the fact that the CIA, the Belgians, and the British were involved in the murder of Dag Hammarskjöld, because he, if you find that that documentary, it's beautiful the way Dag Hammarskjöld, again, a Swedish guy, looks into the camera and says, every nation's minerals and riches should belong to its own people. And he said, and he concluded with, no matter what comes. Basically, that was a suicide statement. So when he was found dead, there was an ace of spades found in his collar, and apparently that was the calling card of the CIA. So that's just one of the things. And he was the first one to invoke Article 99. So I'm not very optimistic about Antonio Guterres invoking Article 99, because by the time they ever get around to even discussing it, and he can now address the Security Council without an invitation, by the time any action is taken, assuming the U.S. and the U.K. don't veto any resolution, by then they'll have finished killing off Gaza. And you know what this reminds me of? Anyone who is familiar with the Punic Wars, where Rome needed to destroy Carthage because Carthage was the master of the maritime empire of trade, and they were located in modern-day Tunis, where there was a very narrow space between that and Sicily, which they also controlled, and the Rome yet was just a shanty town. It learned, as one documentarian said, Rome learned how to be an empire from Carthage. They utterly destroyed it. Three Punic Wars each time, kind of like Gaza. So far, we've had three or four attempts to destroy it. And this time, they're going to continue until they do. There was one documentary that's been removed. It was produced by an archaeologist from Oxford University. And he called it the Roman Holocaust of Carthage, because it was literally, after they killed everybody in the Third Punic War, after the Third Punic War, because Carthage kept coming back more profitable and more powerful than ever. And there was one guy in the Senate, Cato the Elder, who after every speech would say, Carthago delenda est, Carthage must be destroyed, every single speech he ever made. He showed evidence of their profitability, despite all the punitive actions that Rome had imposed on reparations to Rome, supposedly. And Carthage was a business. It was merely interested in trade and commerce. It was not interested, except that one of the generals, Hamilcar Barca, went to the Iberian Peninsula and thereby established the wealth, because at that time the Iberian Peninsula was full of all sorts of mines of silver and a number of other precious minerals. And then his son was the famous Hannibal that now they're trying to imitate when they kill off. Hannibal defeated, was at the gates of Rome when...
Hang on. I want to continue our conversation right after this break. Stand by.
Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Little darling, it's been a long... Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Layla, I would like you to continue with your disquisition. Excellent.
I'm suggesting that Israel today is the modern Rome. They will continue until they've destroyed everybody. And I'll get first. Let me finish on why they use the Hannibal principle.
Sure.
Hannibal was such a brilliant general that he took Carthage. First of all, was Phoenician. It was a Phoenician colony. It was named Kat Hadash. And you'll notice that they say it's Hebrew. Hadash means new. It's actually Phoenician. Everything about the Israelis is borrowed and stolen from someone else. But anyway, Kat Hadash became known as Carthago. And then Hannibal, the son of Hamilcar, learned from his father, who had vowed to his father that he would never be a friend of Rome. So he took an army, as everyone knows, over the Alps. Arrived and then terrified, even though he lost a lot of his army, he managed to defeat Rome in a brilliant strategy that has been studied until recently in military academies. Ultimately, he rushed home to protect Carthage from invading Romans. And then they insisted, we want Hannibal, give him to us. The Senate of Carthage was peace-minded. They did not want to get into another war. They just wanted to continue business. So Hannibal was given a seat in the Senate for a period of time. Then he left and ran away, knowing that Rome wanted to kill him. Finally, when they caught up with him, Hannibal took poison and committed suicide rather than be used in a triumph and taken back as a dead body to Rome to show off. So that is why when they talk about killing their own soldiers who might become captives or even civilians, they call it the Hannibal principle or whatever it is. That's who they name it on. Now, I believe that after Rome defeated the rebels in the area that today would be the Levant, and Judah seems to stand out as having been the most fierce resistors, as like the Palestinians today, because that is in their DNA, to resist to the end, freedom or die. But that is why I believe a lot of the modern so-called Israeli Jews probably have a lot of Roman in them, because the Romans did not take captives. I mean, they did sometimes, if they were useful, they would take them back as slaves. For example, they took some of the surviving Carthaginians back as slaves because they had great ability in building and making waterproof concrete. That's why Rome learned that skill. They also learned it from the Nabataeans. A lot of Roman culture comes from the northwest area of the Arabian Peninsula, but it's just way too much to talk about it all at once. But this is what Israel is modeling itself on, Rome. And by the time they get around to the UN, gets around to having a Security Council meeting, they'll have killed off more because they're now using this indiscriminate massive destruction. And when you listen to some of the children in Gaza, I think there's a lot of jealousy because Israel has a lot of very lazy, without the weaponry, the artificial intelligence and the other technological military weaponry that they learned and stole from the U.S. Without that, they would never have been able to defeat any of the Palestinians in modern day. In 48, they weren't ready for them. They were a pastoral, passive, some were sedentary, but they were a very peaceful set of colonies. Today, they have to slaughter them. I think they are jealous. Look at all those children. Here they are trapped in Gaza. How many of those people that have spoken on camera in English have spoken beautifully? If they can't get out of Gaza, they probably speak Hebrew, the so-called Hebrew, and Arabic is a very complicated language. And when you hear them speak English, they speak it without the ugly accent that the Israelis have, because the Yiddish is so, because they learn English after they've learned the Yiddish or Hebrew. So if you listen to them, there's a lot of jealousy. Look how attractive most of them are. Intelligent, attractive. No matter how many times Israel has gone in to, quote, mow the lawn, they have managed to come back even stronger than before. So they have got to finish them off, like Rome had to kill off Carthage in order for Rome to become an empire. Israel is terrified that they are going to be destroyed, not only by the demographic numbers, but by the higher IQ, the moral commitment. Look at the loyalty to their families. Look at the sexual culture that they have. Everyone laughs at the women covering their head and their bodies. Do you prefer to see girls walking around in with their bodies practically bare naked, as they have managed to make our children, our girls, practically looking like they're streetwalkers? So they have a reverence for honor amongst the men and the women. Of course, they're not all good people. I mean, like any other culture, there are always the corrupt people, and I consider some of those...
Lila, I want to carry you over. I have one other caller I'd like to fit in, and then I want you to continue. You have so much to say that is so valuable and important. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilaji hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilaji Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilaji as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilaji by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilaji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilaji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Just anybody help. You know I need someone help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down.
Well, I have a couple of callers here now before I return to Lila. Dan in Washington, join the conversation, Dan.
Hey, thanks. I just had a few days off, so I got the pleasure of flipping through MSNBC and The View, all these TV shows. Yeah, it's the lies out there are pretty astounding. They, you know, every channel they would talk about the hundreds of women, Israelis that were raped. You know, I think they dropped the whole 40 babies getting their heads cut off, but they're still continuing just to pump out the lies. But I wanted to add one more to the list, and that was Norman Lear. And Norman Lear was a director who was Jewish, who, you know, when you talk about demoralization propaganda, I used to like a lot of these shows, but all these shows that the baby boomers and the greatest generation were raised on were produced by these Jewish supremacists who were knowingly demoralizing the population. And Norman Lear is one of them. He produced Maude, Archie Bunker. You know, I saw a whole dedication to this guy in the news when I was home. But all the movies, but the moral of the story is just white man bad, white man bad. And also family bad. You know, Maude was that radical feminist kind of stuff, just war of the sexes. But he did it knowingly to demoralize the boomer generation. And so
well, you know,
honestly.
Well, Dan, I don't think I'm belong to a boomer generation, but I enjoyed All in the Family and Maude and those shows. I thought they were pretty funny myself. I never was politically affected by them, but perhaps some were. I mean, it was, in a way, it was parodying, you know, bigotry with All in the Family. And I agree with Maude. She was a bit strident, but she had other friends who were not. I rather enjoyed those shows, but I welcome, you know, diverse opinions. Further thoughts, Dan?
Well, he flew a B-17, basically bombing German cities in World War II. And after the war, him and people like Spielberg, they saw the white America as their enemy. And they continued on the war against Germany here at home. I think these shows do definitely affect.
The Allied bombing of the German cities was a great atrocity. And in fact, in the process, they interdicted the railroad lines and made it impossible for the Third Reich to resupply the camps. They were not extermination center, but labor camps. But because of the Allied bombing, they couldn't provide them with food, which led to a lot of them being rather emaciated. On the other hand, we have photographs of a whole lot of kids who were released. Yes, hundreds, even thousands of children were born in these camps, which of course contradicts the whole theory we've heard about their horrific character. And they seem pretty healthy, you know, happy. Nick Kohlerstrom has a wonderful book called Breaking the Spell. I highly recommend. And be sure to check out the photo of the British soccer team at Auschwitz. That's one of my favorites. Dan, more.
Spielberg was one of his friends, and they were both Zionists. But Spielberg knows he's lying, and he's doing that, you know, to push that agenda. And Martin Lear was a little more subtle, but you can see how a lot of that stuff affected people. But anyway, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, all sure, right. Dan. If you have a final thought you'd like to add. Dan, not there. Reese, join the conversation, Reese.
Okay, Jim. First of all, Peter from Los Angeles is the most on target, a target of anyone I've heard on RBN that has been calling into your broadcast. And he's obviously well informed on what's going on. He's mentioned a few things relating even to JFK, and he mentioned Arnon Milchan as the one who had produced and funded the JFK film, which was basically a very well done, very entertaining film to misdirect the public away from Israel, as Arnon Milchan was not just an arms trafficker, as was Jack Ruby. Most people don't know that. The reason Ruby was in Dallas was not to run a burlesque show, but it was for arms smuggling and weapons trafficking for the Israelis, for the Zionists. So we have Arnon Milchan producing the film that misdirects the public away from everyone, you know, as long as it's not Israel, CIA, Lyndon Johnson, the FBI, the Dallas, Texas oil mafia, etc. Now, here's a couple of other facts. You've mentioned the Daltex building a number of times. I've never heard you mention once that it was owned by another member of Ruby's synagogue in Texas that owned it. I think it was not Silverman that owned Daltex. And also the fact that Abe Zapruder, his office was in the Daltex building. And according to a very well-researched JFK investigator, that's where the shooter nest was.
in the Dow Tech building. So we have all these people. We have Sam Bloom was the one that invited him to Dallas. He was a member of that same synagogue. We have Ruth Payne was the one that got Ruby the job in the book depository. Now, she also was involved with trying to get close to Ruby through seducing Marina Oswald. I don't know, did you know that she was another lesbian associated with the same Zionists that was sent down to get close to Marina before the assassination, Jim?
Well, she and her husband were both CIA allied. You know, haven't heard of Ruth Payne as a lesbian. If you had watched any of my presentations, Reese, you'd know I have the key shooter who was an anti-Castro Cuban, Nestor Tony Escadro in the Dal Techs, with a man like Carcano firing three shots that were the only unsilenced shots fired to create the acoustical impression of only three shots having been fired. And he was being supervised there by George H.W. Bush right there in this broom closet for a uranium mining company that was a CIA asset. So, you know, I mean, it would be good if you were to take a look at this distillation of 30 years of collaboration with the best qualified experts, so we could see a little easier where we stand vis-a-vis one another on these maps.
What makes you believe that I haven't tapped into those experts? And that's where this information is coming from. Now,
I don't know what expert you're talking about. I'm talking about Bob Livingston, David Manning, John Costella, Charles Crenshaw, you know, David Lifton.
Yeah, I'm talking about
Charles Crenshaw.
Jim, every tentacle in Dallas is connected to Israeli Irgun weapons traffickers. Jack Ruby was. So was Clay Shaw. Clay Shaw was next to Permandex.
Reese, I don't think we're going to be able to resolve this today. I have eight sponsors. I have eight sponsors of the assassination, each of whom put up their own shooter, and Israel was one of the eight. And I think, on the contrary, Oliver Stone's film, JFK, is the most accurate, complete, and comprehensive presentation of what happened in Dealey Plaza on 22 November 1963, ever presented to the American public through the mass media. And, of course, you can have a pet theory and say it doesn't present your pet theory, and therefore it's a distraction. I do not share. I'm not going to take a lot more.
Jim, Barry Chamish can run circles around anyone on this network when it comes to Zionism. Barry Chamish agrees with me. Michael Collins Piper does. Seymour Hersh agrees with me. Mordecai Vanu agrees with me.
Well, Reese, thanks. You got your point across, and I appreciate your coming back and reiterating it again and again. Thanks for calling, Reese. Lark in Texas. Lark, join the conversation.
Hi, guys. Jim. Yep. I just want to remind you and the listeners that, you know, the proof is pretty much out there right now about who is behind this bioweapon in the form of these injections. And there's a good reason why all these big pharmaceutical companies are off the hook. Because they were simply following the terms of the contract that they were provided. And this information is found on RBN. If you just do a search, it's simple. The website, republicbroadcasting.org, just type in the words Catherine Watt. Catherine with a K, Watt, W-A-T-T, no S.
Like we know that they had to suppress ivermectin and HCQ because they were readily available alternatives, since you couldn't have an authorization for emergency use where they didn't even have to disclose the ingredients unless there were no available alternatives. We also know those companies were run by individuals who are Jewish, and that even the COVID plot appears to have been a Jewish conspiracy. I agree with all of that. What else would you like to add, Lark?
Well, what's important to recognize, Jim, is that it's our own government that is behind this, okay? It's not even our government. This woman on her website, bailiwicknews.substack.com, provides a timeline. Remember, this is a seasoned 15-year paralegal, middle-aged woman. She provides a timeline going back to 1900 and tracks it, how it is that we can't get any justice in the courts, why we can't go after these people. And she's discovered the reality of communitarian law having been superimposed on America. I've been tracking it back since at least 9/11.
Very good. Give us her website. Give us her website once again, Lark.
The lady's website?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bailiwicknews.substack.com.
Spell it. B-A-L-I-W-I-C-K, Bailiwick
no,
News?
No, no. Bailiwick is spelled B-A-I-L-I. Wick, W-I-C-K, Bailiwick.
Very good.
It's a legal term. And then people can find my website by simply typing in tinyurl.com/Larkin, Texas. But I'm telling you, this thing about communitarian law is a form of lawfare. It's been weaponized against the people that we can't even seek justice in the courts. And see what happened with your... laying out of 9/11 with the multiple shooters is how they do it. This is how the mafia takes over a whole country, because they make partners of all the principal players and actors, and oftentimes unwittingly so. And they do this with large organizations, even institutions, you know, whether it be the mass media or Wall Street or the National Governors Association, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, or even the Department of Defense. And that's what's happened to America. We have all become complicit in organized crime unwittingly, because in a large institutions or corporations, these are designed so that the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. And this works perfectly when trying to implement what's called martial rule, which is what the American people are under military and international law today. So anyway, I just want to leave you with that so that we just these things consistently, because we can't. We cannot ignore facts.
Good stuff, Lark. Thanks for an excellent call, Lark. Very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Layla, I want to bring you back for some further thoughts.
Yeah, I'm glad that Lark mentioned that the government that we have are not our governments. They are completely controlled by the global mafia that is going under the name of Israel. That is the headquarters for the global criminal enterprises.
Layla, how can they have the chutzpah to declare that Israel should be the only superpower and the capital of world government should be Jerusalem? This seems so absurd.
Well, they don't declare it. They just, they can say whatever they want. They can also claim 200 women were raped, and they can do that 2 months after the fact. I mean, they've now acknowledged on Al Jazeera, they've got people acknowledging there were no beheading of babies.
Yes.
Now they, but it doesn't matter, because that story gave them the excuse to do the slaughter that they have done.
I was reported earlier, all the supposed evidence of the rape seems to have disappeared as well, Layla.
Well, the point is that they're just so obsessed with sex. Everything has to be involved with sex. I mean, that's why they're into porn and perversion and distortion of normal genitalia. They're not human. They're abominations. I don't know what they are, but I think they are. I'm saying that I think they're a direct descent line from the corrupt Hellenic and the Roman empires, because a lot of the people were dispersed. that did not stay. Those who were not tied to the land, the people who were committed to the Holy Land never left. And I remember my cousin saying when I was there, no matter how many times we're driven off, we always come back. And these are the Christians. The Muslims are even more devoted because the Muslims that adopt all of the religions that go back to the very monotheistic religions that go back to the very beginning. So Muslims are truly devout and they are truly tied to that land. They will give them liberty or give them death, because to them death is liberty as long as they're not, you know, servants of
Christ. Layla, hang around. I want you after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for?
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
Was a way forward still on January 6th? What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Well, Layla, I want to get your final thoughts. I've also got Tom from Florida here. Tom, give us kind of a concise take. I want to work you both in. Tom.
Can you hear me, Tom? Jim?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm watching the news about this George Soros giving these multiple millions of dollars to these DAs. Nobody's persecuting this George Soros, who should be in prison for a Minnesota Kia wave, because this guy's a total criminal. George Soros and all these schmuck billionaires that are funding all this takedown of the United States, and nobody's ever talking about that. These criminals, Soros and all these other crooks, like Steyer and all them, they're spending billions of dollars for all this embracing of homosexuality, fine, abortion, and then Soros is BLM. When is somebody going to arrest this clown?
Yes, I know.
That's what I'd like to know.
There are arrest warrants for him in other countries, such as Hungary, Tom. I think he should have been arrested, indicted, prosecuted long, long ago.
Well, he's filthy. He's a filthy person, and he's wicked. He's a wicked tuna, and he's allowing funding these people committing murders to get away with murder. Unbelievable. And all we hear about, and I still don't believe there's these Hamas guys went in and raped 200-300 Jewish women. I don't believe that's possible. Maybe they did. Why would they have time to rape women when they want to kill them?
Yeah, Layla wants to add to this. Go ahead, Layla, add to this Tom's comment.
I'm sorry, they wouldn't have had time. They were the Israelis.
I agree.
How the cards were intact in the early.
Tom's right. It's a ludicrous story. But these people lie about everything. They lie when they don't even have to lie.
The bigger the lie, the less likely it's going to be.
Layla.
That's always been their theory. If they had said 20 rapes, I might have believed it, but 200?
Jim?
Hang on. Tom wants to add. Yeah, Tom.
Jim, in World War II, you never heard. One thing you never heard about the Nazis, you never heard about any of our chronicle archives that the Nazis raped Jewish women. You never heard. I never heard of a case where
but
Nazis
they had
were taking Jewish women and raping them, ever.
They had brothels.
Have you?
They had brothels.
Yeah. Layla is saying now they had brothels. They even had brothels in the concentration camp. They had a brothel at Auschwitz, Tom. They had a brothel at Auschwitz.
Yeah, they had brothels at all of them. The soldiers weren't going to be celibate while they were guarding those concentration camps. So that's
well, I hate
how
to tell
women
you, Jim, I never heard that. I never heard that. I
they
never
did.
Heard
the women,
that the
women were willing to
rape,
do it so they could
have
get
a brothel
extra food.
Raping women. I never heard that. Never.
Hang on, Layla. Yeah, Tom. Yeah. If you just study the layout of Auschwitz, they had a symphony hall, a woodworking shop. They had a hospital with OBGYN. We had hundreds of babies that were born there, Tom. And as I recall, it still takes 9 months for a normal gestation, which rather saps idea that
Jim,
people
are
were being...
Are you telling me, Jim, are you telling me the Nazi soldiers raped Jewish women to have Jewish babies?
No. I'm saying inmates at the camps were having, reproductive acts. I mean, that's what I'm telling you, Tom.
I never knew that.
Tom,
I never heard
comment
of that.
About Soros. What about his son?
Hey, you guys. You guys, call in earlier tomorrow and we'll talk more. Thanks to everyone. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you care about and love. We do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here on RBN.